Psalm 91, and I'm taking the title for the message from what is said in verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place of the Most High. And we know that Most High is the Most High God. Notice that word is capitalized. He that dwelleth in this secret place of the Most High abideth under the shadow of the Almighty God. He's Most High and He's Almighty. You can't get any higher than God Himself. So the secret place here, what is the secret place that the believer continuously dwells in? Notice, we abide or we lodge there, as the marginal reference has. What is this secret place that we abide in? Rather, who is the secret place of the Most High that the believer finds refuge in? Look at verse 9. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. He is our dwelling place. We abide in the Lord Jesus Christ. There is none other. This is none other. It is none other than the refuge and righteousness that the Lord hath provided for us in the gospel. He called many times our refuge. He's not a refuge of lies that we hide in. He's a refuge of truth that we hide in. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is our hiding place. He is our refuge. He is our righteousness. In Genesis 22, we read about the Lord will provide. You remember Abraham told young Isaac, we're going to go and we're going to sacrifice unto the Lord. We're going to worship the Lord. And he said, where is that lamb? Where's the lamb? Abraham said, God will provide Himself a lamb. And we know that is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord will provide, and He has provided for us a refuge. Think about this. Only that which God provides will God accept. Only that which He provides will God accept. And we read in Ephesians chapter 1 that we are accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Beloved, to the praise of the glory of His grace. My God, Paul writes, my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. So we have a secret place of the Most High which we reside in, the refuge and righteousness we have in Christ. This psalm, like so many others, 150 psalms, they all have the same message as this book, 66 books, has one message. This psalm, like so many others, full of precious, blessed promises, exceeding great and precious promises, revealed and realized only in the Lord Jesus Christ. As David said, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my salvation. Now, if you notice Psalm 91, a lot of times right under Psalm 91 or Psalm this or Psalm that, there is a title of who wrote the psalm. But notice Psalm 91, there's nothing there. You see that? Now, if you look back over to Psalm 90, it says there, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Now, because Moses is accredited in Psalm 90 of writing Psalm 90 out, many of the old commentaries that I read after also give credit to Moses for penning the words of this psalm. But Moses and David had the same hope, whether it's David, whether it's Moses. They all had the same hope, as every believer does. The Lord our God is our salvation. So whether it's Moses or whether it's David, we all have, believers do, have all the same hope. And really, it doesn't matter who was the penman, whether it's John, Peter, or Paul, Matthew, Mark, or Luke. All Scripture given of God. All Scripture is God-breathed, God-given. Moses was blessed to experience the same hope that believers have today. Remember, our Lord said to those Pharisees, if you would have believed Moses, you would have believed me. Moses wrote about me. Moses wrote about the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses took up his pen and he wrote the gospel in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, those first five books. What's that all about? It's all about Christ. It's all about the gospel of God concerning Christ. Our Lord told those two men on the road to Emmaus, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the things in the scriptures concerning himself. I'd love to have heard that sermon. They must have been there a long time. Expounded them in all the scriptures and the prophets, Moses and the prophets. That must have been a long sermon. I'd love to have been there. But this evening, we consider for a moment this Psalm 91. I want to give it to you in four parts. The first part is found in verse 1 and 2. And I'll give these to you, then we'll go back and look at them. The believer's dwelling place. We have a dwelling place in Christ. And then secondly, verses 3 down through verse 8, we see the believer's confidence. We have confidence not in ourselves, but in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the third part will be the believer's redeemer. We know that's Christ. And the redeemer's and the believer's refuge and righteousness is Christ. And then lastly, in verses 14 down through verse 16, we see the believer's promise of salvation. Promise of salvation. With long life will I satisfy him, verse 16, and show him my salvation. And then we get right back to that central truth, don't we? Salvation's of the Lord. Of the Lord. Now let's look at verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth, dwelleth. We abide in that secret place of the Most High, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, being near unto our God. Nearer, so nearer I cannot be in the person of his Son. I'm as near as he, the old songwriter put it. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my God. In him, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him for everything. Everything, I'm going to trust him. He is my dwelling place. If you look over at Psalm 90 for just a moment, Psalm 90 verse 1, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting, thou art God. So he is our dwelling place. He is our hiding place. By God's eternal purpose, by God's eternal power, almighty power, sovereign power, by God Almighty's choice and electing grace, the Lord Jesus Christ is our dwelling place. He's our dwelling place. Now and forever, we're one with him. And that union with Christ is an eternal union. We find out about it in time, but we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And we shall, because he wills, and we shall, or he shall, he does will it, and we shall abide, reside, and lodge in him as long as we hold out. No. As long as we're kept by the power of God. Now that's what a lot of people think. We're okay as long as we hold out. The old question they used to ask around the workplace, are you still saved? If God saved me, I am. Because he saves us with an everlasting salvation. We shall abide, reside, and lodge in him forever. In this secret place of his love. And that secret place of his love is on his heart. We're on his heart. In Isaiah 40, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lamb with his arm, and he carries them in his bosom. Now hold your place right here and look back at Psalm 27. Psalm 27 for a minute. You don't mind turning, do you? Psalm 27. And he talks about it here in Psalm 27, this secret place, verse 5. Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon the rock. What is that secret of his tabernacle? It's Christ. He tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What a dwelling place we have in Christ Jesus. I wrote that down and I went back and wrote this. What a perfect dwelling place we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. What an eternal dwelling place we have in the Lord Jesus Christ that God has provided so graciously for us. The Most High, the Almighty God, we shall abide in him forever. Safely we shall abide. We sang a moment ago. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide. We lodge, we reside, we remain under the shadow of the Almighty God. I will say of the Lord, he's my all and my all. Now it says there in verse 2, the Lord, Jehovah, God my Savior, he is my refuge. My refuge. Now, I looked this up in the book of Psalms today. I don't think I've ever looked this up before. But that word refuge is found 18 times in the book of Psalms. Christ is our refuge. Christ is our refuge. Christ is our refuge. Turn over here to Psalm 46, verse 1. Psalm 46, verse 1. This is one of those 18 places. Psalm 46, 1. God is our refuge and present. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You ever been in trouble? He's our refuge and he's our strength in trouble. I stay in trouble all the time. He is my refuge in trouble. He is my help. And then it says here back at Psalm 91, he's not only the Lord. I will say the Lord. I'll say this because the Lord says this. He's my refuge. Not only that, he's my fortress. He's my fortification. He's my defense. Now turn back to Psalm 18. Psalm 18 for just a moment. I think we looked at this recently. Psalm 18. Can you find that? Psalm 18, verse 1. And this is all through the scriptures. He is my fortress. He's my defense. He's my fortification. He's my high tower. Psalm 18, verse 1. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. He's my fortress. He's my deliverer. He's my God, my strength, in whom I'll trust. My buckler. We're going to see that word again in a moment. The horn or power of my salvation. And he's my high tower. I'll call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. He is our refuge. The Most High God now. We're not talking about a peanut God. As Brother Mahan used to say, our God, no peanut God. He's God. God who is God. God who is almighty. God who is most high. There's none higher. There's none higher than God. And that being so, he's my God. He's the God of all grace. You see that? He's my God. He's my God. He's the God of all grace. He's the Father of mercies. We have a good hope through the grace of God. We have peace, my God. He gives us peace, comfort, and salvation. He's a God of all grace. Remember the words of Thomas the apostle? And he said the same thing. Remember he confessed, my Lord and my God, when the Lord, risen Lord, appeared to him. Remember the first time Thomas wasn't there? I don't know where he was. He was somewhere. But later on, the Lord appeared again. Thomas, remember what he said? I won't believe until I see those nail prints right there. And the Lord appeared and said, Thomas, remember what he said? My Lord and my God. And then remember the words of Mary, the virgin. She said, my soul doth rejoice in God my Savior. So the Lord is the Almighty, the Most High. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God. And then that being so, in Him, last part of verse 2, in Him will I trust. In Him will I trust. It's a good thing to trust the Lord. For what part of salvation do you trust Him for? All of salvation. I trust Him for everything. I trust Him for my wisdom, my righteousness, my sanctification and redemption. I trust Him for all salvation. I will trust Him. And you know why it's a good thing to trust Him? He can't fail. It's impossible for God to lie. Everything He said is so. I will trust. He cannot fail. Our God is the unfailing God. The unfailing God. He is faithful. Remember from last week, Psalm 92, verse 2. It's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, verse 1, verse 2, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness. God's faithful to His word. God's faithful to His covenant. God's faithful to His people. He's the unfailing God. You remember Isaiah 42, verse 4, says He cannot fail. He cannot fail. We trust the one who cannot fail. Now, if we trust someone who could fail, that wouldn't be a good thing to do, would it? Don't put your trust in me or in any other man in whom there's no help, no salvation. Trust Him alone for all things in salvation. So there's the believer's refuge. There's the believer's hiding place, dwelling place we have in Christ. And then verse 3 down through verse 8, we see the believer's confidence. The believer's confidence. Surely He shall deliver thee. He shall. He's called the deliverer. He's called our redeemer. He is the redeemer who really redeems. He redeems all of His people from all of their sin. He shall deliver thee from the snare or the trap of the fowler. I believe that's a reference to Satan, who is a deceiver of men. You remember the Lord said to Peter, Satan had desire to sift you like wheat. But I prayed for you that your faith fail not. He shall surely deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings thou shalt trust. Trust Him. His truth shall be shield and buckler. His truth. His truth. It's always about truth, isn't it? It's always about truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It'll set you free. Now, I love reading in Scripture the shalls and wills of God. The shalls and wills of God. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. God wills, God shall, and it will be done. There are no uncertainties connected with the gospel of God. It's ordered in all things, and it is certain and sure. All the promises of God in Christ are yes, and in Him, and amen to the glory of God. You remember the last words of David on his deathbed? David, the king of Israel. God had made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things, and sure, this is all my hope and all my desire. And then he said, although he causes it not to grow. That's kind of a puzzling statement, but to me, that means there's no room to improve it. It doesn't get any better. It's ordered in all things, and it's sure, and it does not change. We studied that Sunday, didn't we? About, I am the Lord, I change not, the same yesterday, today, and forever. From everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. There are no uncertainties. Everything ordered, all things are ordered and certain and sure in Christ. Our confidence, therefore, of salvation rests totally in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul writes to the Philippians, you remember he said, we are the true Israel of God, which worship God in the Spirit, that rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Now have confidence in Him, but not in us. Not in us, but in Him. He shall, verse 3, deliver thee. He's called in Romans 11, 26. He shall redeem. The deliverer shall come. The deliverer shall come. And it's capital D, deliverer. He shall come and redeem all His people from all their sin. He didn't fail. He shall deliver us from the curse of the law. We studied that in Galatians 3, verse 13. Remember? He redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. He shall deliver us from the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is what? The soul that sinneth shall die. The penalty of sin, the guilty must die. The Lord Jesus Christ has delivered us from the penalty of sin. Because He took our penalty. He took our sin. He took our penalty. And He took the wrath of God due our sin and satisfied God's law and justice for us. The Lord had delivered us from the wrath to come. There's no more wrath for the believer. No more wrath. The Lord had delivered us from the snare of the devil. The Lord had delivered us from the enemy of death. Our Lord said, because I live, you shall live. Remember in Revelation 1:18, He said, I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore. And because He lives, we live and move and have our being in Him. And then verse 4, He talks about being covered. Now we need a covering because by nature we're naked. And even though Adam tried to cover his nakedness with fig leaves, it didn't work, did it? God had to kill an animal, a substitute, and cover. He shall cover thee. He covers us with His feathers. With His feathers. Now this is symbolic language. And under His wings shalt thou trust. And His truth is shield. His truth is buckler. He shall cover us with His feathers. Young birds, you ever looked in a robin nest? And you see them robin eggs in there. Were they blue? They're blue, aren't they? Robin eggs, blue. Aren't they blue? And then every once in a while you peek in that nest. And every once in a while, and then you start to see them little beaks pecking out. They peck out and they get out of that eggshell. You ever look at them when they come out of that eggshell? They're naked. They have no feathers. What does Mama Bird do? Mama Bird flies in there. She covers them with her wings. She covers them up. She's got feathers. They don't have any feathers. The Lord Jesus Christ covers us with His righteousness to cover our nakedness before God. Does that make sense? We have in Christ a robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation. His wings not only provide covering, His wing provide healing. There's healing in His wing. With His stripes we are healed. Now here's the verse, Malachi 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of righteousness arise with healing in His wings. His wings provide hiding and covering before God. A man, you remember Isaiah 32, verse 2. A man shall be a hiding place from the wind, a covert from the tempest, a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing will eclipse His glory. Nothing will eclipse His glory. His truth shall be our shield. His truth is our defender. How do we shield ourselves from the attack of the enemies? How did the Lord shield Himself against the onslaught of Satan's attack? With the word of truth, didn't He? That is our shield. That is our shield. Remember, don't turn. Let me read this to you. This is familiar to you. When Paul talked about putting on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the snares of the devil. And then he says, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. God has given us this covering. He's covered us under his wings. He protects us. Mama bird protects those little birds, doesn't she? Those little baby birds. Mama bird just, oh, I tell you, you get around a robin when them eggs are hatched out and you get around the nest, mama robin will come after you. She'll dive bomb you. She's trying to protect. That's what the Lord protects his people under his wings. I want to be under his wings. And we can trust him because his truth endures forever. The truth of his word, it's our shield. It's our buckler. It's our defense. When the enemies try to assault us for the gospel that we believe, what do we use? We use the truth of the word, don't we? You shall know the truth. Sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth. The truth shall set you free. Look at 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Now, a day of judgment's coming. A day of judgment's been set aside. But those resting in Christ, whom we trust in the secret place, our refuge, our fortress, our deliverer, our cover, our protection, it shall not come nigh thee. In that last day of judgment, there is therefore now no judgment, no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. What is the reward of the wicked? The wages of sin is death. What is the reward of the righteous? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We'll see that. We'll experience that in Christ Jesus. Now, look down at verse 9 down to verse 13. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, he's our habitation. Here's the believer's redeemer and refuge. And it's because that's the cause. You see how verse 9 begins? Because. All these things are not going to hurt us and harm us and do us any eternal damage because thou hast made the Lord our refuge. The Lord is our refuge. And the Most High God, is our dwelling place. He's our habitation. That's where we reside in the Most High God. Therefore, he said, verse 10, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in the way, in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. Satan is called a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the adder, the snake, he's the serpent. And the young lion and the dragons, thou shalt trample them under feet. Satan is a defeated enemy. The Lord Jesus Christ has defeated his power, his dominion. All our Lord said, sit. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. reading in Romans 16. Let me read it to you. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen, he says there. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder and the young lion, because, it all goes back to this reason, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge and my habitation. The Most High. The Most High is our habitation, and he's our dwelling place. He's our dwelling place forever and ever and ever. Now let me say something here about these angels. He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in the ways. One of the means the Lord has ordained to minister unto his saints is a mighty army of angels. While they bring great destruction upon the enemies of God, they bring protection to the believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't have a guardian angel. We have many angels who watch over us. You remember we studied in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14 that the angels are called ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. I've never seen an angel, and I don't know much about them, but they are real and they are the elect angels. They do minister to God's people according to his will. We don't worship angels, we worship God, but he does send forth angels to protect his people. They do serve God's purpose. They did minister to the Lord Jesus Christ while he was in the body, in his flesh, remember? There in Matthew chapter 4 we read, when Satan was through assaulting the Lord Jesus Christ, the angels came and ministered unto him. The Lord, when he was arrested in the garden, remember, Peter whipped out his sword and cut off the ear of that servant. He meant to cut off his head, and that servant, and Peter got his ear. Remember what the Lord said to him? Peter, put up your sword. Don't you know I could call 12 legions of angels? What would 12 legions? That's 60,000 angels. You remember one angel killed 185 Assyrians? What would 60,000 angels do? When he prayed in the garden, and Father said, "Thy Father, not my will, thy will be done." And he bled out great drops of blood. The angels came and ministered unto him. At his resurrection tomb, there was a great earthquake, and the angel of the Lord rolled the stone away and sat upon it. And then told those women, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. He's risen." And then at his ascension, we studied in Acts chapter 1, after his resurrection, 40 days later, he ascended to glory, remember? And the angels stood by and told those disciples, "This same Jesus whom you see go away, he'll come again." This same one. The same one. They do minister unto us. No wonder we studied, be careful to entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unawares. Abraham did. Lot did. Others have as well. Now here's the last thing, the believer's promise of salvation. Verse 14, 15, and 16. Because he has set his love upon me. There's that because again. Because thou hast made the Lord my refuge. Because the Lord has set his love upon me. When did the Lord set his love upon his church? From everlasting. You remember Jeremiah 31? The Lord had loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore with loving kind has he drawn us to himself. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. We are delivered from sin, condemnation, eternal death, from all our enemies, because he set his love upon us. Therefore, I will deliver him. I will set him on high. You know, the forerunner is for us, entered in, and he's seated in the heavenlies, on the throne of God. And you know what? We are seated already in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. It says that in Ephesians chapter 2. I will set him on high. I'm already there in my substitute, having that vital living union with the Lord Jesus Christ. What's true of him, true of us. Where he is, we are too in him. To be absent from his bodies, to be present with the Lord. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. God has given him a name which is above every name, that at that name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, because he hath known my name. What's his name? Jehovah. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jehovah Rapha, those seven names of the Lord. He shall call upon me, verse 15, and I'll answer him. Notice how many times, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. He said, what did we study? You remember that scripture in Hebrews 13? He said, I'll never leave thee, I'll never forsake thee. Therefore we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man shall do unto me. I will be with him in trouble. I'll be with him in trouble. In this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've overcome. The Lord doesn't say you won't have trouble. The Lord says, and he's promised us grace for the day of trouble, that he'll be with us in the trouble. And I will deliver him, and I will honor him. Those who honor the Lord Jesus Christ by believing him, he will honor them because they honor him. With long life, with long life. He's not talking about long life here in the flesh. We're going to see in Psalm 90, verse 12, he said to teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Number our days. 60 and 10. I'm past that. 60 and 10. With long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. This long life here is eternal life. David said, when I behold thy face in righteousness, I'll be satisfied. With long life I will satisfy him. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with everything the Lord Jesus Christ is and what he's done. But more importantly, God is satisfied. This is my beloved son, my well-beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. I will satisfy him and show him, reveal unto him my salvation. Again, we see that salvation is of the Lord, don't we? Salvation is of the Lord.